following recording consists of several parts. It includes the recording of this year's Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review, which allows you in a few moments just to go over the Daf, and then it continues on with the same Daf in the previous Daf Yomi cycle, which of course has a completely different ambience and a whole different group of people that are in attendance. You can use that for Chazora if you wish, and you may actually prefer the ambience of the earlier Daf.
Today's Daf is Mesechet Zevachim, we're Daf Nun Gimel, and we're on Nun Beis Amud Beis at the Halakha Mishnah. We need to talk about over here placement of the Mizbeach. We need to talk about how exactly you do the Matanot Adam, both modalities of Matan Damim, and because of that, it's a bit longer than usual. So the next step that we have, we've been going through the various Kodshei Kodashim, what are the rest of the Chatot HaTzibur? Rest of the Chatot HaTzibur that we're talking about are Chatot Chitzoniot, which are just like the Chatot HaYachid. So the Chatot HaTzibur VaYachid, other than the ones above, are as follows. Elohein Chatot HaTzibur, Seirei Rosh HaKodashim, the Seirim of the Moadim, those are all the Musafim. And they are all the same in that they're brought b'chutz. Rulish, kitatam b'tzafon, and kibud aman b'kudushari b'tzafon, and aman ta'un arba matanot al arba kranot, and that's it, because there's no knisa b'fnim. How was the dam given on the four corners? So, the Mizbeach, if you take a look at this little diagram over here, the Mizbeach had, as far as the placement of the Mizbeach here, don't necessarily pay attention to this diagram, because we're simply going to see that there are different shitot, and we're going to have those shitot today, as to where the Mizbeach was placed. But forgetting where it's placed, this is what it was shaped like. The Kohen comes, this is the southern side here. This is where your Kotel HaMaravi is out, over here, to the west, back of the Heichal. Okay? You're going forwards if you're looking from the Kotel Maharavi, and you go through the Heichal, so to speak, come out the Ulam over here. This is the part which is called the Ulam, and then you hit the Mizbeach. Now, the way this picture has it is that the Yesod HaMaravi, which is here, the Yesod HaMaravi is here, is right Keneged HaPetach. There are other ways of placing the Mizbeach so that even the southern side, if you move the Mizbeach up towards the north, then this southern piece, which also has a little bit of Yesod at the corner, if you take a look, was Keneged HaPetach. But we'll be getting there later. That's as far as the placement is concerned. But let's take a look at the diagram. You have this here, which is the Kevesh. So that's a ramp that's going up. The Kevesh has on it a side ramp, so that when the Kohen is going up the Kevesh, he can turn off at an exit on the Kevesh, which brings him to the Sovev. If you take a look here, was the area of one Amma that went around the midpoint of the Mizbeach, but not really the midpoint, because the Chut HaSikra, which is the technical midpoint, was one Amma below that. So that you had a total of 10 amot in height. Of course, can't see that here. This only shows the two-dimensional picture of the Mizbeach. And around the middle point was what was called the Sovev. The Sovev you could walk around. The Kohen, if he wasn't bringing actual Emurim to the Mizbeach, instead of walking all the way up to the top of the Kevesh, you would take the exit, turn off at the Sovev.
So if you're going up for any of the Damim HaElyonim, of course the Damim HaTachtonim you would give from the ground, would include the Dam of an Oila. But if you're giving the Damim HaElyonim, such as the Chataot, so then you go up on the Sovev. And if you've got to reach all the way to the top to hit the Karen, that we'll see later, whether the dam has to be put all the way on the Karen or whether it can be put anywhere along the edge on the bottom. In any event, that you would certainly not be able to do on the ground. So you would turn off of the Sovev.
The problem was that when it turns onto the Sovev, if you take a look here, there is none of that black mark around the edge. The black mark over here is basically an L shape. And this part over here, which is the eastern side, and this part over here, which is the southern side, does not have that black mark, which is the indication of the Yesod HaMizbeach. We're going to see later today the reason that that black mark wasn't there is because they specifically built the Mizbeach in such a way that it was broken, in a sense. So the 32 by 32 was there, if you measured the 32 by 32 from the edge here, towards the east, all the way to the west, that was 32 amot. If you measured from the northern side down to the southern side here, it was 32 amot. But if you would have measured only the side along the south, you'd have been missing one amma, because there was no yesod on that side. So that if you measured also towards the not only the southern side, but if you measured the side over here of the east, you also wouldn't get 32 amot, because one amma was missing because there wasn't a yesod on that edge. There was an L-shaped missing yesod and an L-shaped yesod. Now note that what that meant was that on each of the facing sides, there was one amma of a yesod. So that even on the southern side here, which lacks yesod, there was a yesod right at the edge. The same thing is true on the eastern side. Even though all along there's no yesod, but there was a yesod right here on the edge to the north. Okay, is that clear? So there were three corners with the yesod because of this, and only one corner, which is right here on the southern east side, that there was no yesod. That's very important to remember all through the Matanot HaDam here. Why? Because if you needed to give the Dam HaOlah, which we're going to be getting to soon, you had a problem of putting the Dam HaOlah on this edge. Because as we learned before, the Dam HaOlah, which is Lamata, needs yesod. So you can't put it on the Mizbeach on a place where there was no Yesod, even though you're not putting the Dam on the Yesod. That's what we learned out just 2 days ago. Okay? So therefore, no Dam was put on that corner because it's missing a Yesod. Where they would put the Dam on the Olah was on these two diagonal corners. The Kohen would first.
So now when it comes to the Chatas, when you're going up, he would go up the Kevesh,
have to turn. He would make a right turn, and he would get to this corner on the southern side, because the Kevesh is on the southern side. He would get to the eastern side by turning right.
He's southwest now? And
then He's in the middle. He goes up in the middle of the Kevesh. He's at the Kevesh. He's on the south now. So he makes a right, okay? And this now takes him over to the east, where there is no Yesod. He has to keep. Now, if he's facing the Mizbeach, which he is, facing the Mizbeach, his feet have one amma to stand in, and he's moving towards his right along the edge of the Mizbeach, which means that he's moving counterclockwise. So he comes to the first corner, keeps moving towards his right counterclockwise, keeps moving counterclockwise until he gets to the northern side. Then he's at the east and north, which does have a yesod, puts the dam there. Continues to move towards his right, comes now, always moves to his right, always, which is always counterclockwise. That's why the Kohanim always turn to their, you always turn towards your right. Keep on moving until you get to the opposite corner, the only other corner that would be keneged the one amma yesod corner, where the yesod just sticks out one amma. That way, so the corner that is completely covered by yesod, its diagonal faces a corner that has no yesod at all. Therefore, remarkably, the one that has the yesod all around it is the one that does not get the dam of the oila, because then it won't be a diagonal matana. And the value of the diagonal matana, as we're going to see later today, is that way, if you splash the blood against the mizbeach, it comes out like a gamma, or like an L-shaped, facing both sides of the corner. So you're always going to put it over there. Okay. The chatas has to be put, Richie, on all four corners. And remember, where does the blood of the chatas go? Up or down? Deep, deep, deep. The Chatas Behema always goes up. It's the Olas of the Chatas Behema. So the Chatas Behema over there, the question is, where are you going to put the Dam? The Torah says put the Dam on the Keren. But there's two definitions of the word Keren. The word Keren can mean the actual horn. The horn was only the upper one amma on each edge. It was an actual horn-like square extension of the Mizbeach. But the other meaning of Keren is corner. So what do we mean? This turns out to be a machlokas tanoim. Does it mean the corner? That means the edge itself, so that the blood is put around along the edge. Or does it mean the horn? Which would mean that it had to be on the upper part. So therefore, if you're giving the Dam of a Chatas, you would have to walk up to the Yesod. To the Sove. And get off at the Sove. If you're giving the Dam of an Oila, you don't even get on the Kevesh. You just walk around the Mizbeach. Because you're supposed to, unless we're talking about an Olat Ha'of, of course. But an Olat Be'ima, you're giving the Dam, I mean, you could, if you want to, stick your hand down and put the blood beneath the Putasikra, which was one Amma, underneath the Sove. If you like doing things the hard way. Okay? So here we're talking about the Chatat. Since we're talking about a Chatat, you have no choice but to get up on the Mizbeach. But you can get to the part on the Mizbeach, which is the Sovev. Okay, so now, there you are, on the Mizbeach, and you take your finger, Alabakava, the Kevesh, Panala Sovev, you get off at the exit of the Sovev, Bala the Karen Dromit, Mizra, and people have a very strange vision in their mind of the Mizbeach. This thing was enormous. Enormous. I mean, you're talking about climbing up to the top of the Mizbeach. I mean, you're talking about two stories high. So, and if you're talking about now walking along the Mizbeach, you know, people have this image in their mind of, you know, some kind of Catholic church or something. You're talking about a building. So you're walking along something that is 50 feet long. It's a real walk.
Okay.
And it's only this one at
the edge. You mean where your feet are going to be standing? Yeah, there's not much room. You know, if you're on top, you might want to be careful. That middle part gets a little bit unpleasant. Okay. And so, here you are, you took the exit to the Sovev, and you reach first the Keren Dromit Mizrachit. You're going to have to put the Dam there, because you put it all four sides of the Chatas. And then you get to the Mizrachit Tzvonit, because you've moved up to the northern side, along the eastern edge. And then, continuing to your right, moving along now the northern side, you're going to get to the western side, which is right by the side of the Beit HaMikdash itself, of the Heichal. And then, as you keep moving towards your right, counterclockwise, you're going back in the direction that you came from. You're now moving towards the southern side. When you get to that edge, which has no Yesod, but of course that's irrelevant for the Chatas, because the Chatas is put on all four sides. And when you get to that edge, you put it on that edge too. So you put it on all of the edges. In the Gemara, we're going to see, what do we mean by the edge? And then you've got the Shirai. The Shirei Adam. Now, where do you put the Shirei Adam? Where were we talking? Where's my ball here? We need a maybe one that has a lot of tough spikes on it. That's a good one.
Spikes.
Spikes, sure. Yeah, spike. And so, where do you put it? So we said that the Chatot HaPnimiyot, where do you put the Shiarei Adam? Right when you walk out of the door of the Heichal. We said, Asher Petach Ohel Moed, you're looking like a good target this morning too. Petach Ohel Moed is facing the western side, obviously, because that's where the Petach was. Then the Mizbeach towards the east. The closest part to the Heichal, you walk out of the door of the Chatot HaPnimiyot, and you're on the western side of the Mizbeach. So you put it on the Yesod Ma'aravi, which is convenient because all Ma'aravi side has a Yesod all along it. Where do you put the dam of the Chataot HaChitzoniot? Hayashofech HaYesod Dromit. Well, it didn't give you much place because almost the entire Dorum didn't have a Yesod, correct? That was the edge that had no Yesod, except on the opposite side, which is pretty convenient because the truth is, when you're coming down, having climbed up the Mizbeach, your exit from the Sovev takes you down off of the Mizbeach on the southern side. So when you get off the exit, you simply make a right turn and you go directly to the Yesod.
Well, it sounds like
here you go.
Your jersey.
No, that's what I'm trying to do that. Now, if you take a look, we even have a nice little bend in the exit. See? Nice picture. The Kohen's coming down off of this exit from the Sovev. It brings him around to face the Yesod HaDromit.
Yeah.
Like this. Comes off, moves down, faces the Yesod HaDromit. Not everybody believes in this particular diagram, but it's nice.
He says so.
He says that not everybody believes it. Okay, fine. But it's nice. So, okay. You got it? Beautiful. So here, it's the Yesod HaDromit. And now, what do you do with the basar? Ne'achalim lifnim min haklaim. This is the first time we've had to discuss basar, because until now, we've been talking about chatot and nisrafon. The basar is eaten now only, since this is kodshei kodashim, it must be eaten within the mechitzot of the Beit HaMikdash itself. It has to be eaten now in the Azara. Lizichrei kihuna, and it's eaten only to kohanim, who are males and shayach to the din of the kuna. Bechol ma'achal, you can eat it any way you like. There's no necessary way of preparing it. The only time we have a necessary way of preparing it is by the carbon. Yes, the carbon pasa. But here you can eat it any way you like. And you can eat it niyom v'layla, it's eaten for the remainder of that day. and it's eaten only at Chatzot, which you'll remember in the beginning of Brachot, that we have a takana, drabanan, that we want to make sure that people don't come to be over on eating it after the time. And so because of that, and it's an Isser Karet, it'll be no tar. So the Chachomim will go there, eat it only until Chatzot.
Did they have barbecues and things inside?
Yep. Okay, how exactly do you do the matana? And I mentioned to you that it's a machloket as to where it needs to be put, whether it needs to be put literally on the keren, can it be put underneath the keren, anywhere above the chutasikra, and a question of whether it needs to be on the edge, or it could be anywhere along the area of the keren. Let's take a look at this now. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar argue. And we're going to see that this argument is a secondary argument to the primary argument, which they're really coming to discuss only one side of. But as usual, we build it up bottom up. So we start with this lower level argument, in which we don't know who says what, but we know between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, Chad Omer, Noten Ama Elech V'Ama Elech, you can put it anywhere on that single Ama, along the entire keren. No. It has to be on the edge. V'chadomar mechatevi oreid k'neged chudor shel keren. It's got to be on the sharp edge of the mizbeach. Now, aliba de Rebbe Elazar v'Rebbe Shimon. We're going to be discussing later a machlokes in which Rebbe Elazar v'Rebbe Shimon says that he atzma inan aset ela begufa shel keren. You've got to put the dam of the chatat on the actual keren itself. Since he defines the word keren as being a horn, he has no reason to say that it means the edge. This doesn't mean the edge. It means put it on the horn. If you put it on the horn, you put it anywhere on the horn. The keren means the one ama by one ama by one ama high extension. Anywhere on that extension, you can put it. That's for sure. So kuli hamalo pligi, for sure over there, there's no reason to say that it would mean the edge. The problem is, according to the Man D'Yomer, who is Rebbe, who argues on Rebbe Elazar v'Rebbe Shimon. So kipli aliba de Rebbe. Since Rebbe said you could put it even underneath the actual extension of the keren, going all the way down to the chutasikra, as long as it's above the midway point in the mizbeach, that would be called lemala. Catch, PJ. That would be called lemala. So if that's the case, there's two ways of understanding Rebbe. Does Rebbe mean that, well, the meaning of the word keren in the Torah is the edge? If it means the edge, and you have to actually put it on the edge. Or does Rebbe mean the keren, although invisible to you, because it has Mizbeach all around it, except in the one place where it doesn't have Mizbeach around it, which is the place where it extends upwards. But the keren itself continues down until the Chutasikra. Sure, it's right there. Remove the Mizbeach in your mind, and you'll see it's all keren, right? So in other words, all he's saying is that the area directly beneath the keren of one amma by one amma is the keren. The fact that it's not articulated separately doesn't change it from being the keren. But it's not that he changes the definition of the word keren to mean edge as opposed to horn. It's still horn, except that the horn starts in the middle. Okay, so therefore we have a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. What did Rabbi mean? Did Rabbi mean you could put it anywhere within one amma of the edge, because that's all keren, until the chutasikra? Or did it mean that he changes it to be read the edge, in which case it would have to be a razor edge along the edge of the mizbeach itself? No, אני מבין מה אומר, אני לא מבין מה הכוונה, מה זה שייך לכאן. תקרא יורד וסותם, אין שם שום דבר, כאן יש הקרן, רק שלא רואים את זה. כי יש מזבח משני הצדדים של הקרן הזה, כאילו שזה מזבח. אבל מי שיש לו עיניים חדות, רואה שהחלק הזה זה קרן, והחלק הזה זה סודף, ומה יש? כן? Okay, so maybe that's the machlok. So you please get a little bit of rabbit. Mar sover ama elek ve'ama elek kineged the keren is all called keren. Umar sover, the meaning of keren is the chuda. Chudain, the edge, yes. More than that, lo. Meitve. Asks the Gemara from the following. Chatat ha-tzibur v'yachid. Ketzad matan damat. How do we give the matan damim of the chataot that we're discussing in our Mishnah? Hayao lela kevesh upone lesovev. So you take the exit to the sovev. Ubalo lekeren dromit mizrachit, which is the first place that you get to when you turn right off of the exit. And now you're at the place that doesn't have a sovev beneath it. So you're at the Dromit Mizrachit corner. That's the southern corner, still along the south, because that's where you came up the Mizbeach. Except since you turned right, you came to the eastern part. You're going, having turned right, you're going away from the actual Binyan Abayit, and you're going towards the entryway of the Azara, correct? You'd have to turn, left in order to get to the actual Eichal. But you need to turn right always. We're going to learn that out later on from a pasuk. So you turn right and you reach that first Karen, but since we're talking about Damim that are Nitanim Lamala, we don't care whether it's Keneged Hayesod anyway, and it's going to be put on that first corner.
So we're on the Soved now?
Yes, we're on the Soved. We exited. And now, what you do is, at this point, the Kohen dips Tovel Etzbo'o HaYemanit, he puts his right hand's finger, which finger? HaMiyumenet SheBiyamin, his most usable finger, which is his pointing finger, next to his thumb. Not what you want to tell somebody what you think of them. Talking about your pointing finger. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you take that miyumenet shebiyamin and you dip it into the dam shebimizrak. And now, since you dipped your finger, you've got blood all around your finger. Now, you don't want blood all around your finger because the only part of the finger that's going to be coming into contact with the mizbeach is your fingertip. So what good is the dam on the side? What you do is you take your thumb and your pinky and use those two fingers to push the blood that's reached other places, to push it towards the part of the finger that's going to be touching the Mizbeach. So that in the end, you get all of the dam onto the Mizbeach. Practice. What can you do? So you mechate, you then take your godlo milamalas, you take your thumb from above, and you take etzba ketana, your small finger, from below, and you push the dam, the chomer, you now churn, so to speak. That's me'aycha marmoro, same lotion. We churn, so to speak, the blood, push the blood around towards the area that's coming into contact with the mizbeach. And then your mechate, v'chomer v'godlo ben lamala v'etzbo ketana ben lamata, u'mechate v'yored. Come on, Rich, keep practicing. Come on, get that little finger there. Otherwise, you don't... Yeah, but you don't want to end up being unable to do this stuff just because you're too old and have arthritis. Move that finger. Come on in. You're getting closer. So,
exercise for the day.
And you put the dam as a line along Keneged Chudash HaKeren, all along the way you're pushing the blood as it is like a ballpoint pen. So you push the blood towards the point that's touching the Mizbeach. Achir v'chalek, kol adam shebet, until you finish all of the blood. So you keep going down the edge of the Mizbeach. And you do the same thing now as you're moving counterclockwise towards each Keren v'Keren. V'chein kol Keren v'Keren. So how can anybody say that the din is that it doesn't have to be Keneged Chudash HaKeren? I mean, this could only be true according to Rebbe. Anyway, because according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, you're not anywhere in that area. You're on top by the actual Keren that's jutting out. If you're talking about going down, you're going according to Rebbe. And yet, it's insisting that you do this along the edge. But I thought that one Mandi Amma over here says, nah, it could be anywhere along. It means one Amma by one Amma along the line that's drawn down from the Karen. Doesn't mean literally the edge. And here it says, fair.
Are we on top or are we on the side?
We're on the side.
On the side.
Yeah. So that means anywhere. We're not on top. So anywhere along that side would be okay. We'd still be standing on the sofa if we just have to stick our hand all the way on top, according to get to the Karen. So, here it says, clearly, only like one of the above shitot. Nah, that's not a problem. Because when we said that you put it anywhere within an amma of the edge, that's not to say that it isn't a mitzvah to put it right along the edge, because that is the Karen Sheva Karen, so to speak. So, for sure that would be the mitzvah. But all that the machlokas that they had was, is where would it be kosher? But the bride over here is only saying, mitzvah b'chuda. The mitzvah is to put it right at the edge. But lemaisid, according to Amman di Amar, if you didn't put it right on the edge, you put it within an amma of the edge, what else would be kosher? Now, you've been talking about this machlokas of Rebbe and Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon as if we know about it, but of course we don't know about it, this Gemara always does. So, what did you mean? What is that? My Rebbe and my Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon. Titania. Damina yonim nitanim michut ha-sikra v'lema'ala. Anywhere, says the Braita, above the chut ha-sikra, which was midpoint up the Mizbeach, then dummim that go on top, and what are the dummim that go on top, gentlemen? Chatas Be'ima, correct. Okay, so Chatas Be'ima, Olas Ohov goes on top. Where on top? Anywhere on top, above the midpoint. Mechut HaSikra V'Lamala. Where are Damim HaTachtonim? They're put anywhere, Mechut HaSikra V'Lamata. Well, maybe anywhere. We saw Gufa Shokern was a problem. Divrei Rebbe. But Rebbe Loz, Rebbe Shimon Omer, no, wait a minute. If you're talking about the Olat Ha'Of, I agree with you. The Olat Ha'Of can be put anywhere from the Chut HaSikra and above. But on the other possibility, which is the Chatat Be'ma, which are also Damim, PJ will look in his holy notebook and find that those Damim are also put Lamala. However, it's Ena Nazet Ela Al Gufa Shel Kerem. That can only be put on the very body of the extended Kerem itself. That, of course, was the Machlokes we're referring to. Does it mean the along the entire area, or does it mean only the area that juts out? Where exactly does Rebbe get this halacha from? Where Rebbe says you could put it anywhere. I mean, the Torah does say the karnot, karnot ha-mizbeach. Doesn't the karnot ha-mizbeach mean the horns that jut out? So Rebbe's svar is as follows. Dichtiv, here we're talking about the very enigmatic description of the binyan bayit hashlishi. Turns out, I mean, we were hoping it would be the Bayit HaSheni, but as the Rambam says, when nobody could figure out what Yechezkel was talking about, it was clear that we weren't meant to be building that Bayit to be according to his plan. So we did the best we could.
According to Yechezkel.
Yes, we did the best we could with Yechezkel's plans, but some of it wasn't time for. And so, one of the elements that are in Yechezkel, again, everything is enigmatic, even the things that we ended up figuring out, is the description of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is called the Har El, the mountain of the Lord. So, the Har El, the Ha-Har El, Arba Amot. Well, maybe it's the Har El, or maybe it's the Ari El, the lion of the Lord. As it turns out that the fire that was burning on the Mizbeach was actually in the shape of a lion, at least during the first phase of English. So, it says in the Pasuk, Har El Arba Amot, Umi Har El Amala HaKronot Arba. So now, the question is, what is the meaning of a Har El Arba Amot? How in the world could you construe any scenario, Katrich, in which the Har El itself was only Arba Amot? Where would it be only Arba Amot? I mean, the Mizbeach was enormous. What do you mean it's 4 Amot? What was 4 Amot? Arba Amot to David. Omer of Arba Rava. Well, no, what it means is the place where you got to put the Dam was 4 Amot. And therefore, it's talking about the Makom HaKranot. What do you mean Makom HaKranot? Makom HaKranot was not 4 Amot. The Makom HaKranot, remember, take up 1 Amma on each side. So that means that they are actually toe-face, only 2 amot in any direction. Now, how could you say 4 amot? Why would it be 4 amot? Therefore, it must mean, and here's where it comes from, says Ravada Barava Makom Kronot Arba, Makom Kronot Arba, Elaema Rishut Kronot Arba. Why is the Rishut Kronot Arba? Because remember that the entire Mizbeach is 10 amot high. The Chut HaSikra is 5 amot from the bottom, but it's also 5 amot from the top. What is the top? The top is the top, the extension, which is includes the kronot. Beneath the kronot to the midpoint is 4 amot. Therefore, the only way to understand this pasuk is that Yechezkel is saying the reshut that is still defined by the kronot above it in an imaginary line that's drawn along the Mizbeach continues 4 amot beneath the visible area of the Keren, on every place where there was a Keren. So it's talking about the extension of the Keren downwards towards the Chut HaSikra, which means that anywhere along that line would be called the Ariel. the place where you could put now the Dam of the Chatat. We're going to get back to understanding more issues in this pasuk later on as we go. We can't answer anyone but Richie first, because if I answer anyone else first, he'll be asleep. But, yeah.
How far below the top is the Sovev?
Here is our diagram, very beautifully made. The Sovev, you'll notice, is one amma above that black line indicating the Chut HaSikra. So you'd have to be five amot from the surface of the ground, including from the Yisur, the line, and then four amot from the line up to the Keren. Oh, you're talking about the Sovev. Correct. That is correct. So you would have to put your hand up in order to reach the Keren. If you're standing on the Sove. If you're like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, according to Rebbe, it's irrelevant. The Karen extends all the way down. Yeah. So it's really not a problem.
So the Mizbech is Kenamot.
Including the Karen. Correct.
And when Rebbe says the bar, is that the Yisod?
No. On this side, I'm measuring from the ground. There was no Yisod. Really. Right. Okay. So from the ground. The Yisod took up one amma of that area. So, continues now the Gemara. Tnan Hatam, Chucho Sikra. We've been assuming all along that there was a midpoint. The midpoint we called the red line. The red line was based on what? I mean, it means that we actually drew a line along the Mizbeah. Where do we get that from? So the Bright explains. Chucho Sikra Choguro Be'emtza. There was a belt, so to speak, that was drawn around the Mizbeach as a red line. La'avdil ben damim el yanim, the damim atachtonim. Anim noanim yile. Where do we get the idea that there's supposed to be such an element in the structure of the Mizbeach? Omer Abach Abrav Katina. Shenemar, it says about the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu made. V'natata ota tachat karkova Mizbeach melamata, v'ayta hareshet at chatziya Mizbeach. So that means there was a reshet, there was a marking of a screen-like metallic device on the Mizbeach HaNefoshet that indicated Chatzi HaMizbeach. Since the Mizbeach that Shlomo made was built around the conceptual issues that were on the Mizbeach HaNefoshet, the concept of having a dividing point of the midway was translated into the Chut HaSikra. So that means HaTorah Natna Mechitza, the Torah insists on having a visible indication, lahavdil ben damim elyonim, the damim atachtonim. So it's not enough for you to just be approximate. The Mizbeach has to actually mark itself to distinguish between the upper and lower section. Shiore hadam, and then the Mishnah says that the shirayim were placed at the Yisod Hadromi, which is a surprise. So where do we get that from? Tana Rabbanan El Yisod Mizbeach. This Yisod Mizbeach that we're talking about over here on the Karbonis that were brought Bachutz, that's a reference to the Yisod Romi. Really? Maybe it's a reference to the Yisod HaMaravi, which is reasonable, because that way, Yilmat Satum and Amafurash, the only place where the Torah defines what Yisod is meant for the Shiarei Adam, is El Yisod Mizbach HaOla, Asher Petach HaOmoed. Petach HaOmoed is the Yisod HaMaravi. Let's take that model, which is the Parkoin Mashiach, as our model for all Nitino Adam LeYisod. And therefore, it would be on the western side. No. There's a better way to do this. I mean, logically, the way to understand it is Amrit Yilmad Yeridato Min HaKevesh LiYitziato Min HaEichal. What we should take is the conceptual thing, not the particular place that it defines. In other words, when you walk out of the Eichal, what do? You put it on the Yisod that is closest to where you completed the Aveda. So, Mayitzi Atomen Aichal, it's Bisamucho, it's the first place that you hit when you walk out. Af Yeridatomen Akevesh, Af Yeridatomen Akevesh is also Bisamucho. Where do you come down off of the Kevesh? You took the exit that brings you down to the southern side of the Mizbeach. Therefore, you should put the Dam in the southern side. That's the logic of the conceptual connection between the mentioned and defined Yisod, which is Petach HaOmoed, and the Yesod that isn't defined where we're supposed to use our brains to recognize that we simply put it where we complete the Avodah.
Is it related to Mavir and Alamitzah, or is it different?
So Tosu says before that the Inyan of Samuch Lo does relate to Mavir and Alamitzah. Tanya Rabbi Yishmael Omer. Rabbi Yishmael's Shita is that even when you come and finish the Avodah of the you also put the dam on the Yesod HaMaravi and not on the Yesod HaDrumi. And we understand the logic of that. The logic of that is that he indeed held that Yilamed Satum and Amafurash makes more sense than to try to turn it into a conceptual issue. Turn it into an identification issue. You identified what you meant by Yesod by the Parkoin Mashiach. It meant Petach HaOmoed. Well, that's what it means over here. Okay. Surprisingly, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says, in either case, it's referring to the Yesod Dromi. Now, wow, that's really weird. So that even when you, the Torah said Beferish, Yesod HaMizbeach Shepetach HaOmoed. So how do you get to the Yesod Dromi? On the Chatot HaPnimiot. So Bishle Melamad Yomer Yesod Maravi, I understand Rabbi Yishmael. The Yesod Maravi is based on very simple. Yilmat Satum and Amafurash. The Torah said Petach HaOmoed. It didn't say anything about these Chatot. So I guess it means the same place. That's logical. But where the heck would Rav Shimon Bar Yochai get the din that the Yesod Asher Petach HaOmoed would be a reference to the Yesod Drumi, my taima? Omer Rav Asi, well, it's clear, because Sovar Haitana Kula Mizbeach B'Tzafon Koi. Now, remember, I mentioned to you before, not everybody agrees with this diagram. The reason that not everybody agrees with this diagram is because it has almost the entire Mizbeach being, David, on the southern part of the Azorah. So only a tiny bit of the Mizbeach up to the end of the Petach HaUlam extended up towards the north. Therefore, when you come out of the doorway of the Eichal, the only thing that's facing you is the western part of the Mizbeach, and therefore that is the Yesod HaMaravi. But suppose you move the entire Mizbeach all the way up so that its edge is the midpoint of the Azorah, but all of it is in the north. Then when you walk out of the door, the midpoint of your door is facing the southern line of the Mizbeach. Then it's clear that the most logical meaning of Petach HaOmoed is right smack bang in the middle of the Petach HaOmoed. Right smack bang in the middle of the Petach HaOmoed would be the entire Yesod Dromi, because the Mizbeach has been moved now up in this direction towards the north, which brings its southern edge to the midpoint. That would be his logic. So it would still be Petach HaOmoed. Lishnach Rina, another way of putting this is Kulei Petach Bedoram Koi, that the entire area of the Petach was all in the southern part of the Mizbeach. And therefore, you'd have to put it on the Yesod Dromi. So when you walk out of the Petach, that's all that you would see, and that therefore that must be the meaning of it. Now, in the end, the Talmidim in the Beit HaMidrash of Rabbi Yishmael quoted Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, so that he would end up saying the same thing as their Rebbe. And that instead of saying, you put it, both of them, Bein HaChatot HaPnimiot, Bein HaChatot HaChitzoniot, you put on the Tzad Dorom, they had him say, you put on the Yesod Maravi. And they had, the Tanya Rebbe Shmuel, the Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai, used to say, Zevezeh Yesod Maravi. Now, the way to remember the two Girsaot in Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai is Mashchu Gavre Legavre. The many boys on one side of the rope dragged over Shimba Yochai over to them. So well, you'll remember that it's talking about the Devei Rebbe Yishmael, which are the Talmidim. They were the ones who dragged over the words of Shimba Yochai into their base of mentors, so it would work out according to the way they looked at it, so to speak. That's just a simit to remember how they learned it. Continues now the Eilat Mishnah. Ha'ola. Now we're up to the next case. We finished with the Chata'ot, the Chata'ot HaPnimiot, the Chata'ot even Chitzoniot, and now we get up to the Korban Eila. Ha'ola Kodshei Kodashim. That's strange because until now, we didn't say the Purim and Yisrof, but the Sirim and Yisrof, these are Kodshei Kodashim. We didn't say the Sirei HaMoedim, Sirei Rosh Chodashim, or Kodshei Kodashim. All of a sudden, we switch the girsa, and we say, Hola, Kodshei Kodashim. That's what we're talking about, right? It's Kodshei Kodashim. By the way, who cares? We don't need an Ayla. If you eat the korban instead, the Kodshei Kodashim is definitive, because Kodshei Kodashim means that you're only going to be able to eat it in the Azor as it ends. But when it comes to the Ayla, why do we care if we call it Kodshei Kodashim or Kodshei Kali? Because there are many other issues that are nogea Kodshei Kodashim. For instance.
I'm waiting for the for instance.
Yeah, that was 2K. That's it. That's all that's left.
He's really got a giga.
So, for instance, when are you moil? In Kachim Kalim, you're only going to be moil when it's right for the Mizbeach. Kachim Kachim, you're moil immediately. Is the korban nifsal biyotze from the Azorah? Or is it only nifsal if it's yotze from Yerushalayim? So on and so forth. So there's going to be many nafkaminas, la halacha, defining it as Kachim Kadashim, as opposed to Kachim Kalim, including which tuma passes it on. But the Gemara is going to ask why we didn't bother mentioning it when we were talking about chatas. Okay, but the Ola is Kachim Kadashim. And again, our standard formula, shchitata b'tzafon, kibbul doma b'klisharas b'tzafon. Okay, here we depart from our standard formula, because for the first time we're talking about a new matandam, which is called shtayim shein arba. And let's see how we learn that out of a pasuk. Dama ta'un shtei matanot shein arba, so that you need to splash, to throw the dam from a kos on the corner of the Mizbeach, diagonally as we saw, the two corners that do have a yesod, which is the second corner that you reach, and the fourth corner that you reach, those are the ones that have a yesod. You put it on the edge in a motion that lets the blood scatter to either side. We'll see this really machlokas later. And that means you've really given two motions of your hand in terms of the zrika, but the dam has hit all four sides of the Mizbeach. We call that Shtayim Shein Arba. Two, which because they take on the Gamma shape, become four. Utu'una Hefshet V'nituach, what's also new about the Oila, is that part of the din of the Oila itself is that you need to skin it, butcher it, so that we have the specific halakim that are put in the Mizbeach. And the other most unique element of the Oila is that it's brought entirely on the Mizbeach. So it's Kalili Yishim, the only korban that is put entirely on the Mizbeach. The other korbanos we've been talking about until now, even if they're lechatot apnimiyot, were not put on the Mizbeach. They were burned, but they weren't burned on the Mizbeach. They were burned outside of the Beit HaMikdash and the Shavradesh. Okay, says the Gemara, our first question is, why is it that when it comes to an Oila, we have to stick in the words Kodshei Kodashim? Why? Kodshei Kodashim, why did you say that? My type of tamilin. Because the lochtiba, Kodshei Kodashim, it's the carbon. It's the first carbon that we've seen that the Torah didn't say first the words Kodshei Kodashim. Remember that one of the things we wanted to do was to learn out that din that Osham requires Shchit B'Tzafein from Exereshava, Kodesh Kodashim, to Chatas. But we were unable to do it directly to Oila because it doesn't appear by Oila. That's all in your notebook. Yeah. So because of that, we wanted to mention in the Mishnah itself. V'dama ta'un shtei matanot. How do we do those shtei matanot? Teichi Avin, Amar Rav, notein v'chozer v'notein. On each side of the two corners that you give it, you splash separately. So according to Rav, you actually have four zrikas, except you do it standing in two places. Again, on the diagonals that have yesod, as we saw before, but you don't throw the dam keneged the chuda shel keren so that it splashes in either direction. You actually splash it in two directions. You move your hand four times in total. Shmuel Omer, no, it's matana achat kemin gamma. It's a gamma blood, and you're notein, and that's how it hits all four sides.
L shape,
yeah. Ketanoi yochol yizrik en azrika achat. You might think that it says by the oila that it should be bezrika. It's okay, so do one zrika. Talmud Omar saviv, but that couldn't be good because vozorku at adam saviv is impossible to get all around the mizbeach with one zrika. Ah, so I guess if it would have said saviv alone, what would that have meant? Yakifenu kechut. Take your finger and start walking around the mizbeach and draw a red line across the Mizbeach with blood. That's what Saviv means, around, go all the way around. Therefore, the Torah says, Yochi Kifenekul, maybe that means indeed to do it that way. Therefore, Talmud Lomar V'Zorako, you can't possibly throw dam to make it like a chut. How can you get it all around in a line? Therefore, the Torah is specifying, okay, it's a kimin gama, shtei matanot shein arba. It's telling you to do the equivalent of savi, meaning get it on all four sides, but do it with a minimal zrika. Okay, that's two. Rabbi Shmuel says that's not fair, because the word saviv doesn't only mean to do more than one. And it doesn't only mean to get it on every side. It has a specific connotation when it comes to the damim of karbonis. You know why? Because by chatas it says the same thing. And over there it certainly doesn't mean draw a ring around the mizbeach. But it says saviv here, and it says saviv by the chatat, okay? So therefore use it the same way. When we talk about the damo al mizbeach saviv by the chatat, what did it mean? Pisuk varba matanot. You do four actions to get it saviv lamizbeach, one on each side. So afkan pisuk varva matanot, you'd have to do the same thing. Break your action, but do it four times. Ah, so that's the case. Why not go all the way and say, okay. So therefore, the only difference between the chatas and the oila is whether you use your finger or whether you use something to splash it with, because it says zorako, and over there it says tibnuvidantat. Maybe that's the only difference. So mal alan arba matanot al arba kronot, do the same thing. So too by the olaf kan arba matanot al arba kronot. No! Because we already proved a few days ago that the ola is to unai yisod. Since the ola can only be put on the part of the mizbeach has a yisod, the part that was on the keren mizrachit dromit didn't have a yisod. And therefore, there is no way to learn that it means literally the same saviv as the chatat, because then it would violate the other requirement of the oila. So you're stuck. Therefore, I say, try to approximate the meaning of saviv to be as close to the chatat as possible. What it means by the chatat? Four separate acts of netina that were hitting the four edges. In this case, four separate acts of netina that are hitting all four sides, as close as you can get to the idea of saviv, as used in Matan Damim elsewhere. But it can't possibly mean the edges. How come? My timer, what, I mean, why didn't they build the mizbeach right? How come it's like missing a piece on the bottom? Omar, Rabbi Elazar, the same guys who built the robot.
Yeah, when I need it there for, they'll never notice.
Omar, Rabbi Elazar, lefi shelo haita bechelko shel toreif. The problem of the mizbeach was that it was placed right at the edge of the boundary between Yehuda and Binyamin. And the border of Yehuda ran all along the side of the Mizbeach, such that when you are coming from Yerushalayim now, you're still in the Chelek of Yehuda. All of these Azorais, all of the first 22 Amot of Halicha, of the Azora, even inside the gateway, which was Shar Nikna, all of this belonged to Yehuda. All along the eastern side of the Mizbeach. So we couldn't put a Yisod on the eastern side unless we grabbed a little piece of Yehuda's territory to put that little Amma that jutted out. Why? Because it's because Binyamin Zeev Yitrov. Binyamin is the wolf. And the nature of the Mizbeach is that it's meant to be a predator. Because, nope, that's not a Toreif.
He's Doreis.
He's not Toreif. It's a whole different idea. So a predator, in the sense of the Toreif, is the nature of the whole meaning of the Mizbeach. In other words, it's meant to be an expression of the whole concept of the development of life through Tarifa. It's a reference specifically to selection pressure. And therefore, humans are able to bring on a Mizbeach. In other words, more complex life utilizes less complex life beneath it. So if it's not in that part, it's not a Mizbeach. You can't put a Mizbeach anywhere. That's the whole point, is that Makom HaMizbeach, as the Rambam puts it, Mechuvan Bioter. It's absolutely placed exactly where it needs to be. So it's the transition element between the Malchut aspect of the Yehuda to the other aspects of relationship of Binyamin, and it's right on the border. Now the problem was, since I can't put the Yesod there, so I have to just have that little piece of Yesod that is really an extension of the Yesod that was coming from the northern part. The problem is that the area of Yehuda extended for one amma as a little band along the southern side where the Mizbeach was, right into Binyamin's territory. Now this, of course, drove Binyamin absolutely bananas. The Omer of Shuabar of Yitzchak, Mizbeach Ochel Bechalkosh Yehuda Amma. So the Mizbeach now, the place that would, that entire length was really Yehuda's territory. And Omer, Reb Levi Bar Chama, Omer Reb Chama, Reb Chanina, but there was a larger part, a Ritzu'ah, that jutted out, and I tell you, Yotzei Michalkosh Yehuda, and it's extended into Nichnesa Bechalkosh Binyamin. What a chutzpah.
That's this area.
That's the southern piece. Vaya Binyamin HaTzadik Mitztaera Alea B'chol Yom Lenot La. This would drive Binyamin crazy in his relationship with Binyamin, with Yehuda. I want that. Shenemar, where do we see that? Because, as Moshe Rabbeinu says, L'Binyamin Amar Yedid Hashem Yishkon. That's the Yedidus, which is referred to as the Beis Hamikdash, is the mock-up that's Yedidus, built by Yedidia for Yedidia, and so on and so forth. And he was now Chofeifal of Kol Hayom. There he is, sitting and rubbing up against it, as if, I want this, I want this, I want this. And it's because of that profound desire to have the entirety of the Shekhinah in his chelek, to be able to do the Aveda in his chelek. That desire was what gave him the zechus to have the Heichal in his chelek for the Makom Ha'arayim, which was the appearance of the Shekhinah. L'fichach zacha Binyamin HaTzadik v'naaseh ushpizichan l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, continues the Pasuk, Chofeif alav kol hayom, because of that, Bein Kitefav Shachin, that the Shekhinah lives between the shoulders of Binyamin because he cares. And since it meant so much to him, that in his essence was the reason that the Beis HaMikdash was so chosen, Bechelko Shel Yedid. That's the whole message. My Yedidid. The meaning of Ayanotem Chalkosh Yehuda is, assuming that Chalkosh Yehuda went along the entire side of the Mizbeach, just as it did on the eastern side. It would have gone along the entire side of the Mizbeach on the southern side as well. So that, in a sense, the one arm of the Yesod that was an extension of the ongoing Yesod on the Tzad Ma'arav and an ongoing Yesod of the Yitzad the Tzfoni, that extended onwards and jutted out, was jutting into the Chelek of Yehuda. So we can view that extension, the Tzad Drumi, as a full extension of Yehuda into Binyamin. But Lamaisa, one arm of it was also taken up by Binyamin. The other part was really eaten up by Binyamin, the one arm that was extended into the Dorah. But Yehuda didn't care about that. It was Binyamin that was the one that was suffering from that large extension that was really sticking up into the southern side. Right? So therefore we say, there we had a profound extrusion into his territory. The only part that really extends into Yehuda's territory along the straight line of Yehuda is the Am of Betzad Dorim. Right? Betzad Meir, sorry. Right. That part right. is extending into the area that, if you would have drawn a straight line, mm-hmm. would have given you Yehuda's territory. So you messed it up now, because that part extended into his territory. But as far as Binyamin is concerned, you had 31 amot. Mm-hmm. 30 amot, really, because we didn't have that last piece.
All of the Heichal is in Binyamin.
Yeah, but that would have been the edge of the anything from the 22 Amot Makom Hiluch HaKohanim onwards towards the west, towards the east, rather, would have been the Binyamin territory, right? But that line included the entire edge of the Mizbeach along the eastern side. Yeah, right, and therefore that we. Because that was all Binyamin, that was all Yehuda. The fact that there was anything along that edge, which there was, on the northern side, jutted into that edge, that was an extrusion now into an area that was Yehuda's. But in another sense, we can view the entire line of 32 Amot being Yehuda's territory, because once it was already invasive of Binyamin's territory, it should have invaded along the entire length. So therefore, we look at that as also an extension into Yehuda's territory from the point of view of Binyamin. But in reality, the part that bothers us about it is that 31 amot of it was stealing straight out of Binyamin's territory anyway. So the real grabbing anything from Yehuda was the part that was on the eastern side. Right? Because it ate up that one single Amma ala Amma, which is the extension of the Yesod. Right? Mashenken, he ate up 31 Amot by an Amma in Binyamin's side.
Okay.
Chatot HaTzibur V'Hayachid. Elohim Chatot HaTzibur Sirei Roshei Chadashim V'Shomohadot Shkitatom B'Tzafon V'Kibud Obam B'Kli Sharei B'Tzafon V'Daman Ta'un Arba Matanot Ala Bakronot Ketzat Ola B'Kevesh Pana L'Sove Bolo L'Keren Dromit Mizrachit. Moving on now, Mizrachit Tzvonit, moving on Tzvonit Maravit, counterclockwise, and Maravit Dromit. Each one of those corners got the dam. Shere Adama Yashofech HaYisod Dromit. And we'll see that's in Machloket. V'Nechalim L'Fnim Na'Kila'im No matter how you prepare it, Yom Laila at Chatzot min Rabbanan. Heichi Yovid, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Chadam Notin Ama Elch V'Ama Elch, V'Chadam Mechatev Yorik Neged Chutoshel Keren. Now certainly, I live with Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. The Yomar He Atzvayin and Asif Elbal Gufa Shel Keren Kuli Amal Oplige. Obviously, there's nothing unique about Chuda Shel Keren according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. However, He Plige a little bit of Rabbi. Because the meaning of Karen is the extension of Karen downwards. Because he's changing the definition of Karen. Meaning, the Yumenet should be Amin. Min Adam should be Mizrach. Then, Chomer begodlo b'lamala b'etzpok tanam l'mata, and then he's mechatev yored keneged chudosh keren ad shemechalek kol adam shebe'etzpa, and you repeat that action on kol keren v'keren. So doesn't that mean it has to be keneged chuda? No, holy kama mitzvah b'chuda, but iavid ama elach v'ama elach, that would be fine and let lamba. My Rebbe and my Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon that you've been referring to, the Tanya. Dabim Alyonim Nitanim Mechut HaSikar V'Lamala, Dabim HaTartonim Nitanim Mechut HaSikar V'Lamata. Divrei Rebbe, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon Omer, Bameh Dvarim Amurim, yes, Be'olat Ha'of, that's fine. Avo B'chatat Be'ema, He Atzma Inan HaSet Al HaGuf HaShel Keren, Omer Rebbe Abohu, my time at the Rabbi, K'tiv V'Har El Arba Amot. Arba Amot to Davye. Omer Rebbe Arba Arba Ole, Masmin Mekob Kronot Arba Amot. Makom Kranot is Arba. Elaim a Rishut Kranot runs down to the Chut HaSikra for another 4 amot under the Keren. Tanan Hatam, Chut HaSikra Chogro Be'emtzalav de Bidomim Yonim, the Domim HaTachtonim, Minonim Ili, Omer of Agab Rav Katina, Shedemar Laita HaReshet, Ad Chatzi HaMizbeach, HaTorah Natan Bechitzah, Lavdil Be'endomim El Yonim, the Domim HaTachtonim. Shiorei Hadam, Tanar Rabbana, Yisod Mizbeach Zeyesod Dromi, and that makes sense because Yilamet Satumina Mufarash. Well, Amrit. On the other hand, we could be Yilmad Yiratomina Kevesh, Liyatiyatomina Echa, Mayatiyatomina Echa, Besamukhla, Yiratomina Kevesh, Besamukhla. Tanya, Rav Yishmael Amrezev Zayasod Ma'aravi. That makes sense. Rav Shimon Yechoy Amrezev Zayasod Romi. That doesn't make sense. Mishlam in the Madam Yisod Ma'aravi. Okay, Kasavi Yilamet. Yilmad Satumina Mufarash, but the Madam Yisod Romi. How do you explain El Petach Omoy? Amar Rabbi Asi, Kasav Raitana Kulam Mizbeach, but Safon Koi. Lishvach Rina, Kuli Petach of the Dorum of the Mizbeach Koi. Tony Devei Rabbi Yishmol, Bar Rabbi Yishmol Bar Yochai, that Rabbi Yishmol Bar Yochai, Omrim Zeveze Yisod Marovi. To remember who said what? Simenecha Moshchul Gavri Lekavra. Ha'ola Kodshe Kodashim, Shchitata B'Tzafon, Kibud Omer B'Kli Sharet B'Tzafon, V'damata Unshtei Matanot Shein Arba. Because that's the only one to look deep at Kodesh Kodashimi. V'damata unshtei matanot hechi ovid. Omarav noten v'chozer v'noten. Shmuel omar, matana achat k'min gama noten. Ketano yoch yizrik and yizrik achat. Impossible. Tam lom saviv. Is aviv yoch yikifena kochut. Tam lom rezorko. Couldn't do it that way. What's left, the only option, is our ketzad k'min gama. Shtei matanot shen arba. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Ne'emar Kan Saviv, but it also says Saviv by the Chatat, Ne'emar La'alan Saviv. Just like by the Chatat La'alan, it's Pisuk, V'arba Matanot, Avkan Pisuk V'arba Matanot. Now you'll say to yourself, well, if that's the case, just like the Chatat is Arba Matanot al Arba Kranot, Avkan Arba Matanot al Arba Kranot, Amrit can't do that. Because we've already shown before that Ola is Tuna Yesod. But the problem is, the Kerem Mizrachi drew me to Lo Ayala Yesod. How come? Amr Rabbi Lazar, Vishalaita Bechalkosh of Torev. The Amr Rabbi Shubar of Yitzchak, Mizbeach Ochel Bechalkosh Yuda Ama. The Amr Rabbi Levi Bar Chama, Amr Rabbi Chama Bar Rabbi Chanina, Ritzua Ita Yotza Mechalkosh Yuda. Venechisa Bechalkosh of Binyamin. The Ayah Binyamin HaTzadik Mitztar Alea Bechal Yom Lenotla. Shema Chofef Alav Kol Hayom. And it was that Tsar that was the Fir Zachra Binyamin HaTzadik
So the
following is the daf from the previous daf yomi cycle. Okay, give it to us. We're on daf nun beis amud beis. At the Mishnah. The next case in which the Mishnah wants to define Kodshei Kodashim and all of their various dinim, we discussed the Chatzoros HaPnimios. Now we're moving on to the Chatzoros HaPitzonios, Chatzoros HaTzibur VaHayachid. So the various Chatzoros HaTzibur VaHayachid, of course, can't mean all Chatzoros HaTzibur, because then we'd be contradicting ourselves, because we just finished talking about the Chatzoros HaTzibur on Yom Kippur, and the Pahal and Dovash of Tzibur, and on the Pahal and Mashiach. Elohim Chatzoros HaTzibur, which ones do we mean? When we say over here Chatzoros, we mean the ones that are done by Kutz, the Seirei Rosh HaKadoshim, the Seirim of the Moadim, along with any Chatzos Yochid, whether it's a Seira or a Kisba, the din is that they too are Shkitaton B'Tzafon. You have to check them on the northern side of the Azor of the Kibbol. Doma Bechle Sharet B'Tzafon, which means the coin also has to be standing, together with the Kli Sharet on the northern side. Daman Ta'un Arba Matanot Al Arba Kranot. And the Kataot require four separate Matanos on the four Kranot. Now, the problem is to define exactly what we mean by the Kranot, because, of course, the word Karen has double meaning. The word Karen means a corner. The word Karen also means a horn. And the Mizbeach had both. It had corners and it had horns. And then it had those four Amma by Amma extensions that protruded up upwards on the Mizbeach. And those Kronot, actually the entire Mizbeach is 10 Amos high, including the Karen. So the actual large body of the Mizbeach is 9 Amos high. It didn't extend upwards one Amma, and then an Amma wide and an Amma deep for each one of the Kronot. Now, when the curse is to put something on the Karen, it's a little bit confusing to us, because we don't know whether it means on the Karen, that is, on the edge, or on the Karen means somewhere on that one-by-one protrusion. That, we're going to see, is something of a machlokas. But whatever it means, it's on the four Kronot. Ketzad, what exactly does the coin do? Well, since, as you will recall, the Chatas Behema, the Dam, is given on top of the Mizbeach, so the Kohen has to go up on the Kevesh. So he's Allah the Kevesh, he climbs up. The Kevesh was a ramp that extended on the Dorum side up to the Mizbeach, and he made a turn on the Sovev. Now the Sovev was the extension, and remember the Mizbeach was built on three levels. It was the Yesod, it was the lower part, and then there was the Sovev, which was the equivalent of the one arm of the Yesod. So it's the extension of the stair around the lower part. And there, he would go off on the exit to the Sovev. The Kevesh had a little exit going off towards the Sovev, or you could continue up towards the top. If you were bringing the dam of a carbon like the Eilas Behema, which requires you to put it on the bottom, so then there'd be no reason to go up to Kevesh at all. You'd stand on the bottom of the Mizbeach, and you'd walk around the Mizbeach on the bottom.
But if you're going to go and up to the top, because you actually have to bring the nesokim, or you have to bring the butzer onto Mizbeach of an Eil, or the Imurim of all the Kabbalahs, you go up, of course, all the way to the top of the Mizbeach. So here, he climbs up the Mizbeach through the Kevesh, turns to the Sovev, follow the Karen Dromit Mizrachit. He turns off now, and he walks, continues to walk around until he hits the first Karen towards his right, which is the southeast side. Because remember, you're facing the Mizbeach south side when you're standing on the Kevesh. So when you make a right turn, and we'll see later in the Gemara, you always make a right turn. You learn that out from a passing. So when you make a right right turn, you will hit the eastern side first, along the southern edge of the Mizbeach, which is southeast Keren. You put it there, Mizrach and Tzvoni. If you're next, continuing to your right, facing the Mizbeach, then you will now hit the next corner on the northern side of the Mizbeach, which is the opposite side that you climbed, but you're still along the east edge of the Mizbeach. Continuing to your right, facing the Mizbeach, you're continuing along the north side of the Mizbeach, and this time you hit the western part, walls. So you're now on the northwest corner, and then you continue back towards where you started along the western side of Mizbeach towards the Daron. You hit the Daron, and you put it on the Dromit side. Whatever is left in the Shiore Adam that you're holding in the cup, Ayashofech, Ayisot, the Dromit, you pour that out on, as you come off of the Mizbeach, you pour it out on the bottom of the Mizbeach, on the Yisod, on the southern side, which is where you will find yourself at that point anyway. Of course, if you're coming down back off of the Kevesh, if you're coming around on the exit from the Sovet towards the Kevesh, you walk back down, turn around, make a U-turn, you're looking at the Mizbeach on the south side. You just walk up the Mizbeach and you pour out the Shiori Hadam. And then the basar of these korbanos, what whether they are shalsibur v'shalyachi, ne'echalim lifnim min akiloi, they have to be eaten within the tremas ha'azorah. Can only be eaten by zichrei kahuna, because of kashi kadoshim. They can be eaten with any other type of food to make them more tasty. They're kol ma'akal, and they can be prepared in any way that you like, as far as to the carbon pesach, which has to be, of course, sleep, but the chol ma'akal, and they're eaten for the rest of that day and the remaining night. Ad chatzos is not a diraisa, as we remember, kolon lelayla akas, mitzvot amat ha-boiker, but the chachomim also siyog v'divrim, like we had back in the very beginning of Shas, back in the sugya in Brochus. We make a harakoka, you shouldn't come with a nicer, so may harakoka not to read Kriyat Shema to chatzos. Now, the question is, because we're not sure what it means to put the dam on the Karen, we ask, hey, Fiyavid, how do you do it exactly? What does Cohen do with his fingers? It's a machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. Chad omer, notin ama elak v'ama elak. One man, the Omer, says, look, the Karen means the edge of the Mizbeach, which extends for an Amma in either direction. That Amma closest to the edge is called the edge of the Mizbeach. It doesn't matter where you put it. You put it on the side that you're facing, or around the other edge, or whichever way you're facing, it makes no difference. And as long as it's within one Amma of the edge, that's called the Karen. The Chad Omer, the other one says, no, Karen is the sharp edge. Mechatevi or Ed Keneged Chudoshel Karen. If we go to the sharp edge, meaning the actual point at which the angle is made of the Mizbeach, and you run your finger down the edge. So Mechatevi or Ed, the word Mechate, we're using the Lashon that's based on the Torah itself that uses Akohin HaMechate. Akohin HaMechate, that's which is borrowing that term from the Torah itself. And you're Mechatevi or Ed.
Instead of sitting the way you said earlier, is it your first Mazda Amar sits in the corner?
Wait. So now, the Gemara wants to clarify what we mean. Aliba de Rabbi Elazar de Rabbi Shimon. The Amar, he had smay, nana, state, elevate, goof, a shell, carrot, the Kuleyama, the flinky. According to the Mandiyama that I mentioned earlier, who is Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, as we'll see, and he learns that when the Torah says to put it al keren on his bayah, it means on the keren, on the horn, it doesn't mean on the edge. So according to him, obviously, anywhere on that keren, there nobody's going to say it means not to the edge of the keren. It doesn't mean the keren of the keren. So there, everybody agrees, anywhere on the keren is fine. The machlokas over here is kitzlige, aliva, the rabbi. The machlokas is, according to Rebbe, who says, no, the keren doesn't mean the protrusion keren, the horn. The keren means the edge. The shaila is, aliva, the rabbi, what is the edge? Mar sabar. Here it's not on the protrusion. It's below the protrusion. So mar sabar, ama ele, va'ama ele, kineget keren, keren, who? One on the armor must look, as long as within one armor of the edge, that's called the keren. And we'll see the logic in that, where we get that from. Marzahar kineget chuda in tzvelo. The most Rebbe was saying is that the edge is the meaning of the word keren, not horn, the meaning of the word keren, and therefore, you have to do it literally, on the edge. Basically, chatat hatzibur v'hayachid keitzat hatan daman. Now, here is a brisa that seems to pretty much settle the issue for us. It says over here that how do you give the dust on the chatas hayachid ba'atzibur, which is what we're talking about? Hayao lele kevesh upanala sovev. So far it sounds like our Mishnah. Goes up on the kevesh, makes an exit on the sovev exit, comes to the keren dromit mizrachit, tovel be'espa'o hayimanit. He puts his right hand finger. Well, you know, most people have more than one, and if he didn't, he wouldn't be in Kosher Kohen. So why does that help us? No, it's go hayimanit means hamiyumenet shebiyamin. Your most right. Dexterous, the dexter, is what? Your finger, which is known as your chatas finger, of course, in English, I think, right? But they call this finger the chatas finger. No?
The Vietnam War.
Not the chatas?
I'm sorry. I see.
During
Vietnam, you
see? Anyway, but it's certainly your most dexterous digit, and therefore meme. Is that? But it's not the most miumenet now, is it? A miuman. What is miumenet? Miumenet means well trained, does its job well. We'll see that your pinky has a job to perform also, which we'll talk about, but it isn't that job because the pinky is not very miuman. So the tefillah, therefore, shall be done by your pointer finger, and so far everything's okay. You take minadash b'mizrak, that's also okay. V'chomer b'gadalon l'amalo v'esbok tana v'lamata. Now, we finally get to that thing that our president is so interested in making sure it isn't hurt in any way. That's one of the jobs of a president, is to make sure that nobody feels in any way, a sense of, being less valuable than others.
Less so.
Yeah. So what you do is, there's two explanations of this word. By the way, there's two gersos. Then I have the gears of the somek. Now the word v'chomer comes from the word chamor. To be michamer means to drive the chamor. When we say v'chomer, what we mean is that you push down the blood, is the way Rashi understands. You use your pinky. Now this is a little difficult to understand it this way, because try to get your pinky up against your pointing finger to push the blood down. It's a little difficult. And especially if you're a Cohen type, is used to spreading your pinky away from your, it's doable, yeah, but it's tough. It's interesting that the Rambam seems to have had the gears to use the finger next to the pointer. What's that, your ring finger?
I know, it's the middle
one. Your middle finger, all right. So your middle finger, yeah. Except that the Rambam's gears is the somech. Now the somech means what you do is, in order to make sure that you don't fall off the edge of the keren, you stick your thumb and your pinky, or your other finger, on either side of the keren, like this, and you go down. Now that makes a lot of sense. That holds your hand in place so that when you're running down the keren, you're going straight down the keren, you're not going to go to either edge. Okay. But in any event, it sure says the Feirish, Mechatevi Yorei Keneged Chuda Shel Keren. It says that the Feirish. You gotta run that finger down the very edge of the Keren. Achi Mechalek Kol Adam Shebeetzba. You have to finish all of the blood on your finger. At that point, there's no point in continuing to run down the edge of the Mizbeach. But, gee whiz, this is only going to work out according to the Mount of Yarma, whichever one it was. I mean, we don't know who said what. But, I mean, it seems very clear in a Brisa that the Chen called Keren v'Keren, you do this on every one of the four chronos, that the word Keren doesn't mean the protrusion over here, and it's referring to Rebbe Shita, and then that means that Rebbe Shita is the Chuder Shal Keren. Yeah, come on, I mean, that's become a mitzvah b'chuda. I mean, that's just saying, I agree. I mean, it's sort of talking about the Keren. Of course, it's nicer to do it than whatever is most Keren. Our only machlokas is what is still within the concept of Keren. If you didn't do it along the foot, it would be kosher. So there we had a machlokas. Rabbi Yomu said, as long as you're within an arm on either side, you're not saying with kapsila, not to try to do your best. Sometimes it's pretty heavy traffic up there. I mean, you've got 40, 50 carnies waiting on each carriage. You know, so if you're all going to wait for the same telephone, it's going to be tough. I think you have additional lines extending out of Amman each way. We can get the job done. So, okay, so the question is, what's considered to be the included within the concept of carriage? And we keep referring to this machlokas of Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon. Of course, we haven't learned it yet. So, my Rebbe and my Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon, where is that machlokas? It's the time. Damim ha'elyonim, blood that is meant to be put on the top of the Mizbeach, which is of course the dam of the Chataot, Nitanim Michuta Sikra V'lamala, was put from the red line and up. Damim ha'tachtonim, Nitanim Michuta Sikra V'lamata, Zivri Red. As far as the other dam, of all the other carbonas, we're not referring to Ofot, of course, because the Olas Ofot was brought on top of the Mizbeach. That's put from the Chuta Sikra V'lamata, so says Red. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon says, oh, what are you talking about that it's from the red line up? It's not from the red line up. If you're talking about an Olas Ha'of, you could say the red line up. You could say it. But Bamed Dvar Mamurim, Olas Ha'of. But Bechadet Behemah says, no, it has nothing to do with the midpoint of the Mizbeach. It has to do with the word Keren. The word Keren is the very top protrusion. Bechadet Behemah, yes, may not be Tela Agut Vashel Keren. You have to put that down on that Keren itself. We saw that, of course, according to Rebbe Elazar, the din would be anywhere on the Keren. There's no reason to say that it means the Keren of the Keren. Now, on Rebbe Abu, my time at a Rebbe, where is Rebbe coming? The Torah does say the Keren. I mean, so why not interpret that to mean the most clear-cut, definitive sense of Keren, which is literally the thing that extends upwards. But how does Rebbe know that the Keren, what's more, I mean, to say that if Rebbe holds the Keren means the edge, anywhere down, is anywhere within an amma of the edge. I mean, that, where do we get all of that from? Because take a look in Yecheskel, where the Malach is showing Yecheskel around, and he sees the Mizbeach. So, it says over there, the Har-El, which is the word that's used continuously for the Mizbeach in Yecheskel, Har-El, Arba'amot, so take over there, the Mizbeach was four amot, Umariel, Ulamala, Hakronot Arba. But from that point up, you had four Amos of Kronos. Well, what is this all about? Arba Amos or Dahabi? Where do we get four Amos? There's no measurement of four by four anywhere. What was it a reference to? Omer Elada Bar Abba? No, it means the Makom Kronot Arba. The place, in other words, we're talking about, okay, the Yesod, how much is the Yesod? One Amma on either side. Right? One Amma on the north-south side, because we didn't have an Amma on that edge, and then two Ammas on the east-west side, right? I mean, the truth is it's really two Ammas in north-south, as we'll see a little bit later. So, okay, so it means four Ammas means the Kronot take up four Ammas. Well, but that's not true. I mean, well, how do you get four Ammas? Kronot take up two Amos. Why would you say four Amos? Makoma Kronot's Arba Amos. How is the Makoma Kronot Arba Amos? You have, it takes off two Amos, or two
squares.
It's two by two. I mean, it's not four Amos. 400 by what?
Two squared.
But all of the measurements were not in terms of squared until now. So how did it take up 4 amos? What does that mean? Ah, so Omer Adabaraza, what it means is, it says the Gemara explaining Adabaraza, what it means is, Rishut Akronot Arba. Oh, that's a whole different thing. Rishut Akronot Arba would mean that we're talking about the height of the Mizbeah, because from the midpoint of the Mizbeah, Sove, up here, you have 4 amas. And then you have the Amma of the Keren. So that means that what we're saying is, okay, you can take your entire Keren and see it as extending downwards in the Mizbeah, you see. Which means that what the Pasuk is saying, I'll leave it already, is that what we see extending upwards is just the extension of the imaginary line that's going downwards. Because that's all the Keren. The Keren's going down all the way. It's just you don't see it because it looks like it's part of it. But then when it goes up, above the Mizbeah, there you notice it. So number Koma Kronot Arba means that when I say the word Keren, what I really mean is the edge of the Mizbeah all the way down. In which case, if I put it, according to Maman Yomar, an Amma within the edge, I'm still within the Keren. In other words, let's sort of cut out the rest of the Mizbeah. We'd have the 4 Kronos extending all the way down. Because the Keren is the same. It's only up from the Har El. It's the upper part above the Sov. The bottom part is never referred to as the Mizbeah. So therefore you have really four Amos, and each one of them has an Amma by an Amma, according to Maman
D'Yomar. This
is very high up. It's very high up. Of course it is. Sure, it's two stories high, basically. You're sitting on a Mizbeah, you're looking at a building towering above. People have this, you know, vision of this little toy thing that you sit down on.
Would someone have found the vertigo?
No. It's just not a good idea. We'll use them for other things. Yeah, you have a picture that shows a person next to the bear, gives you a sense of scale. Huh? Oh, there's the Kohen, yeah, okay, that's good. That's only showing the upper part of the staff, but there's the Kohen standing on the...
On the pedestal.
No, he's standing on the Sovev, and he's trying to reach the Keren. Oh, it's no easy job. He's got to stick his hand up in order to get his...
to be a normal size.
Even though he's standing in the middle of the Mizbeah there.
Even also that in ancient times, quote-unquote...
People were much shorter, that's right. So it was not easy for him to... unless he holds the shiur of Chaim Noah, you know. So, I mean, but Chazanish shiur on the Mizbeah, I mean, come on, it's pretty tall. He's got a 6 foot high, putting the dam up there, according to the Maan D'Yomar, it's got to be up on top. And Rebbe Elazar. Okay, so now we understand what it means is that the area that the Kronos take up, which is the Rishus of the Kronos, in other words, that area doesn't mean Mokrom HaKronos, we were talking about Mokrom and Rishus last time, right? So what it means over here is the Rishus, that is to say the domain of the Kronos, is Arba. Amazing that we had the discussion this last night here. Okay, that's great. Okay, Tznan Hatsa. Chut shel sikra chogro be'emtza la'adir bein damim el yamim l'damim hatak. So, now we keep referring to this red laser line over there in the middle of the Mizbeah, and indeed the Mishnah in Midos describes this, that you need to put that line right in the middle of the Mizbeah. How did we come up with that? We're not even really. Omre v'apa barav ketina. Well, it's basically an extension of the concept of the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. When it comes to Mizbeach HaNechoshes, remember, the Mizbeach of Binyan is really the translation, conceptually, of the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, which was hollow, and you would, when you come to the Machane, you settle down, you open up the Mishkan, spread it out, and then you fill up the Mizbeach with earth, so it becomes a Mizbeach HaDamah, which is held in place by place of Nekoshes. So what we do when we build a Mizbeach is we're essentially building permanently the earth of the Mizbeach HaNekoshes. We make it out of Avanim. And that means that the things that define Mizbeach in terms of the Mizbeach HaNekoshes are expanded upon. It's much larger. But basically, we make to scale the same idea that we had on the Mizbeach HaNekoshes. Now, the Mizbeach HaNekoshes says, Vaitah HaReshet Afkasi HaMizbeach, that there was a reshet, which some learn is an actual, some learn it's just a picture, but in any event, there was definitely a sense of, if you have a picture over there of a metalwork lattice, which was from the midpoint of Mizbeach down, La'avdil ben damim el-yonim le-damim ha-tachtonim, and not everybody agrees with that picture. That picture, first of all, is the Mizbeach. It's not Mizbeach HaNekoshes. I doubt that you have Mizbeach HaNekoshes there. But it's the same idea, that there was a symbol of where to put the dam that would be Lamal. So we translate that on the Mizbeach of Adama by etching in our, or not etching, but painting on our Chuta Sikra. Yes, sir.
How do they get the dirt below the reshet? What I'm understanding.
The reshet's out right? On the outside. So
the reshet on the outside is not on the
no, yeah. Now, Shiyore Hadam, then it says on these chatos also we have Shiyore Hadam. I'm talking about an El Yisrael Mizbeach, but what's interesting is that until now we were talking about the Shiyore Hadam being put on the Yisod, but which Yisod? Yisod Ma'aravi. And now all of a sudden it says, Al Yisod Dromi. How did we make that change? And now all of a sudden we're supposed to put the Shiyore Hadam in Shofak Al Yisod Dromi. Well, the Bryce explains. It says that Yisod Mizbeach has got to be referring to the Yisod Dromi. Oh, well, you say so. A Talmud says Yisod Dromi. I mean, how about if I disagree? Oh, in early Yisod Ma'aravi. And it's reasonable to say that it means the Yisod Ma'aravi. Because there are places where the Torah says Beferish, which Yisod do I mean? Because it says El Pesach HaOmoed. El Yisod HaMizbeach HaShof. Pesach HaOmoed. From which we learned out that you're supposed to put it on the side of the Mizbeach that's facing the Pesach HaOmoed, which is the Ma'arav. So, if the Torah just says, oh, Yisod HaMizbeach, remember that we had this gradual decrease in the definition of what Yisod means. Because when it came to the most choshev, the opening parasha, so to speak, which is the parasha of Mashiach, so over there it says, oh, Yisod HaMizbeach, Asher Pesach HaOmoed. And then when we get to the parasha of Rabbi Yosef Sibur, it says, El Yisod Mizbeach HaOlam. Then, when we come to the Chatzot, Akisonot, at least when it comes to the Kisra and the Seer, it just says, El Yisod HaMizbeach. Yeah, so, we're getting less, and now we're saying that if you claim it means well, then it's got to mean the Dorah. Why not say it means the same thing? It's just relying on your intelligence. Say, look, if I explained already, how many times do I have to say it? I explained already that you give it to the Yisod HaMizbeach HaShof. That's a very way. No, so that's what it means. The Western side. The Yelamet Satum in Amufurash. Let's learn the place where the Torah doesn't define it from the place where the Torah does define it. Amrit, well, no, I'll explain to you why I say Yisod HaDromi. I say Yelamet Yiridatum in Akedesh V'Yitziyatum in Ayikah. Look, let's consider. Where is the going standing in each one of these cases? When you're talking about the Matnot Adam, of the Mitzchatzot HaPnimiyot, which is what we were discussing in the first mission, they were given inside of the Heichal. So if I'm coming out with the Shiraim, I'm walking out of the door of the Heichal. Where am I? Well, I'm to the west. I'm on the western side of the Mizbeach, because I'm walking out of the eastern side of the Heichal, which is where the door is, right? So therefore, the Torah is saying, okay, so put it on the western side, because that's the first place that you reach. You're walking out of the door, you're looking at the western side of the Mizbeach, so put it there. But if I am, in this case, I'm talking about the Chatzot HaChitzoniyot, which the Dam was put, I had to get up the Kevesh in order to get to the place where I could reach, where I'm supposed to put the Dam. It's got to be, maybe according to what my Yom, even on the top, up on the Keren. Now I'm coming back down, so I took now the road up to the Kevesh, to the Kevesh, down the Kevesh, and where am I now? I'm on the south side of the Mizbeach. Why should I walk around to the west side? It makes much more sense that what the Torah is saying is, look, in each case, wherever you are at the time that you finish the Matzanot Adam, this is the Mizbeah, put it as close as you can, don't go wandering around with the Shirei Adam. So if the Torah is telling me that Yitziyato min Ha'ikal, my Yitziyato min Ha'ikal, b'sabuch lo, put it to the place that's closest to you, on the Mizbeah, so Ha'afiridato min Ha'kevish, b'sabuch lo, makes sense to say, what do you mean, just blindly yilameh satu min Ha'mefurash, but because at one place it says, to use the western side, to always be the western side, like, what am I, an idiot? I mean, it's supposed to have meaning. So the meaning is, you're going out of the door, put it in the closest place of the door. You're coming off the kevish, put it in the closest place of the kevish. Tanya, Rabbi Yishmael, I mean, so far we've seen two sheets in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah we have only our sheets of Yisodromi. But there is actually a variation. According to Rabbi Yishmael, it's Yisod Maravit. Zeya Zev Yisod Maravit. And most surprisingly of all, according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, even the dam of the Shiori Adam of the Kataot HaPnimiyot is put on the Yisod Rumi. Now that's a real surprise. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Zeveze Yisod Rumi. I mean, I understand the Tanna of Rabbi Yishmael. I mean, Rabbi Yishmael is saying that Yelameh Satum and Amafurash. The Torah says the fairy, by the case of the Dami HaPnimiyot, that it has to be Pesach HaOmer. It's okay, So I won't apply it conceptually. I'll just say, look, the Torah said the west, stick to the west, even where it doesn't say the Torah. That makes sense, but Rav Shimon Bar Yochai doesn't make any sense. Because how did we get the Rome even for the Kataot HaPnimiyot if the Torah says to the Mizbeach HaShal Petach HaOmoy? Does that make any sense? Let's see that inside. So Bishloim Lamad Yomel Yisod Maravi. Okay, I understand his logic is Kasavar Yilameit Satum and Amifurash. Let's learn out the case of the Kataot, which just says Yisod HaMizbeach from the case of the fire of Kohen Mashiach, where it says El Yisod Mizbeach Olah Asher Al Petach HaOmoy. Okay, that means Maravi. Lamad Yomel Yisod Drom. Shimon Bar Yochai, my time, what's the logic here? Amr Vasi, I'll tell you very, very simple logic. His logic is, Kasavar Aitana, Kula Mizbeach B'tzafon Kari. What he holds, and we'll see later on in the Sefer, is my focus is to the placement of the Mizbeach. Was the Mizbeach placed smack bang in the middle of the Azara, going from north to south, in other words? Or was the Mizbeach placed on the northern side? Now, if the Mizbeach was placed on the northern side, and Rashi has one Shita that takes it even a step further, and that's the next words. Lishtaprina, Kule Petach Bedorim, for the entire Petach of the Heichal was to the south of the Mizbeach. Meaning, you analyze, the door of the Heichal is 10 amas wide, right? Which is about the size of this room. So, if the middle of the door would therefore be the midpoint in the Azara, because it was all symmetrical. So I'm right now, if I'm walking out the middle of the door, I'm smack bang in the middle of the Azara. If Lamaisa, I would draw a line that would divide the northern and southern parts of the Azara, so it would come right off to the middle of the door. If you hold it, the Mizbeach was placed entirely on the northern side, which we'll see why we would say that. Then that means that as I come out of the door, the thing that is right in front of me is the Yisod HaMizbeach. But which Yisod? The Yisod running down the southern side. Because the western part is going to be towards my left. My eyes, walking out of the middle, are going to look directly at the southern side of the Yisod. And what's interesting is that according to this other Shita, which Tosfos has problems with, because we'll see later, the Gemara later on, does not support such a Shita. But if you have Kule Pesach Bedorim Kohen, it would mean that the entire Pesach, not only the middle part, but in other words, even if I walk out to my left of the Heichal, and I'm now facing the Tzad of the western part, I'm facing the Kotel HaMa'arovi from inside the Heichal, and I'm all the way to the left of the door, then I'm still going to look directly ahead and not see the Mizbeach. I have to turn my eyes slightly to the side, because the Mizbeach starts to the north of the door, other than the Yisod. The wall, not five, four. because one of them is the Ama Yisod. The Ama Yisod is not part of the measurements of the Mizbeach that we're referring to here. So that means that the only part of the Mizbeach that is Pesach Ol HaMoed is the southern Yisod, not the western Yisod. Therefore, Taina's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is coming out of the door. The Pesach Ol HaMoed is the Yisod Dromi. You're right, it could be the Mara part of the Yisod Dromi. But that section that makes the turn and it runs along the southern side is the Yisod HaDromit. And therefore, he says, look, I don't care whether you're coming off of the Kevesh, and I don't care whether you're coming out of the Eichel. You're both of you are on that southern side. You're on the same place. And therefore, you should put it on the Yisod Dromit. Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. Now, an interesting historical sidelight was that the Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael ended up reading in the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It should say Be Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The truth is, I'll tell you in a moment, there's two different Lashonas here in the Sugya. That Zev Zeh Yisod Ma'aravi, which means that what happened is that in the end, the Talmidim of Rabbi Yishmael ended up dragging Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai over to their side. Because they quoted him as saying, Zeh v'zeh yisod ma'aravi. Now the way to remember this is the Siman Ha Mashu Gavri L'Gavra. There were a lot of guys over there in that Beis HaMedrash. They were able to overpower Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and drag him into their brises, so to speak. Right? Little virtual, virtual view. Now the problem is, as it shows later on, that the word Moshu Gavri Lagavra is used in the exact opposite sense. And what he understands, therefore, is that the Girsa here is wrong. And you'll notice that we have all these other Girsas. And that it's Kir Rabbi Shimon, not Bar Rabbi Shimon, which means that the Tanur Rabbi Shmuel ended up saying Yisod Dromi, and then it would say Zev Zeh Yisod Dromi, it should say, not Zeh Yisod Ma'aravi, and the Simon of Marshku Gavre LeGavra would mean that the Gavre, the two people in which it mentions both the person and his father, Rabbi Shimon and Yochai, were Moshe, Rabbi Yishmael, and it doesn't mention his father, and that's the way he's later on. So it says it would be a heck of a simon if you use it one way one time or the other way the other time. Now you've got to make a simon for which simon you're. I mean, come on, now that's not a simon. So therefore, he backs the gears that is the other way, that both of these sheikhs ended up saying, Yisod Dromi. Run. Ha'olah? We're getting now off of the chata'ot, so we went through already. The Chata'ot HaPnimiyot, we had with Pnai V'Lipnim, the Parvas HaShigam HaKippurim, and then we had the ones that are done just with Lipnim, which was the Par Halam Davrishal Tzibur, the Par Kalin HaMashiach, we had the Si'irei Avodis Kochavim, and then we moved on down to the Chata'ot HaYachid, which would include a Yachid, and even a Nasi, even though it's a slightly different animal. We're not talking about the animals, we're talking about the Komachos walking. So the Sayer of the Nasi, or the Si'ira, or the Kispa of the Yachid, we finish now with the Chata'ot, although we didn't discuss Chata'ot. But we finish with the Chata'ot Behemos, we're going to get back to the Ophos. And now, we're moving on to the next in line, which is the Karban Oil. And you'll remember that the Karban Oil, in a sense, is the first in line, or should have been, because that's the place that the Torah said Nezu Mekayim and Chol Zvachim. That's the it's always compared to El Mekayim Mizbach HaOlam. So, but as the Gemara explained, we went to Chatas first because since Lamaisa we learned out of a drasha, which is that you should check the Chatas where you check the Ayva. So we like to discuss the drasha with less obvious things first. They're more Chaviv. Now getting on to the Ayla, which in terms of its Kedusha, I mean, once we switch back to the elements of Kedusha, which we did, because remember we're talking about Chatas, why did we go to the Chata'ot that go Lifnai V'Lifnim first, which was the Gemara's next question, because it's more Chashiv. And once we switch to Chatas, the fact that the Dam is the final thing, gives it a Chashivas. The next in line of Chashivas is the Ayla, because the Ayla was Kulah. Brought in the Mizbeach, it's Kalil, in terms of the Lashon and Gemara. And since it's Kalil, we put it next. So, Ahula, Kodshei Kodashim, Shri, which is curious, because it didn't say that about the Chatas. It started off with the words Tzatzik, Tzatzim, Shkitatam, Tzafon, and so on and so on. But then it says, the Chatas never said anything about the Horim and his Rav being Kachi Kadashim. The Gemara is going to answer, how come we repeat it's Kachi Kadashim by the Yoyla? Okay. Shkitata b'tzafon, v'kibu dama b'klisharei b'tzafon, v'dama ta'un. Now here's the first big difference that we note. Dama ta'un shtei matanot, not the four matanot that we had with the Nesinas Etzba ala Keren, but rather two matanot shehin arba, which in fact end up being four. We'll see what that means. You also have to skin the animal. You have to cut it off into its parts. We'll see what they are later. And it's burned entirely on the fires of the Mizbeah. Ask the Gemara, first of all, the language. Ola, my time, atani like Karchi Kadashim. How come by Chakas we didn't say anything about it being Karchi Kadashim? By Ola, we do. Because we shouldn't the Lotziba Kadash Kadashim. The point is, by the Chafetz it says Beferish, and by the Oshim and also says Beferish. Kodesh Kodashimi, Kodesh Chataz, Kodesh Hashem, every reference is always Kodesh Kodashimi. But by Ayla, for some reason, never said that. And yet, logically speaking, it's the most Kodesh Kodashim because even the Batzer is brought on the Mizbeach itself, and it's Kolil. Therefore, the Tana wants it to be clear that it is Kodesh Kodashim, and therefore it will have all of those dinim that it will be possible. But Yotze, and you're going to be Chayav on Me'ila. For some reason, Rashi throws in, it also makes an Afkamina, whether it's Kabbalatuma from a Chusa Kippurim, and it's Bulyom, which just does as points out, is certainly not true, because all Kachim are Kabbalatuma from a Chusa Kippurim, and it's Bulyom. What does that have to do with Kachim, 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 Kali, which we'll see later on. Now, Domaton shtei matanot shein arba. How do you make two matanot which are four? I mean, clearly the only way you can do that is you've got to hit all sides of the mizbeach, because it does say saviv. This is saviv. It means
saviv.
It's those doctors. No, it's never the last few words. It never proves anything. That's automatic. I know that you've got that rabbit loop. Okay, how do we get a two that is four? We have to hit every side. So it's a given that what we're going to be doing is, on two places, we're going to be putting a total of four matanas. That means we're going to stand at the edge, we're going to get the dam on either side of the edge. The question is, how do we put some on one side? Here we don't use our finger. Do we splash it on one side and then splash it on the other side, move around the diagonal and do the same thing on the other edge of the diagonal? Or, no, we do shtayim because we're only in two places. Or do we pour it towards the edge, then it scatters on both sides? That's in my corpus. Omar Rav notain b'chozer notain. Rav says it means two places, but four actual movements of your cup. Which is another difference. By the Chatas, you use your finger. Here you're using your cup. What you use is a Greek gamma, so that you pour it against the edge, and then it scatters into the shape of a gamma, which is basically goes in both directions.
Gamma?
Gamma. It's like a cup sofit. Or a dalid without the piece sticking out the edge. Now, this is actually a machlokas tanoi, kitanoi. And the Bryce explains very well how we know all of this. The Torah says that we should be zorek the dam. So you might think that that means, because it's bizarro. I mean, so bizarro is a dam, so put it once. Give me that. Because it says saviv. So, isaviv yoko yikifeno kechut. Maybe that means you should draw a line all around of his bear. You should do it saviv. No, you can't do that because Tavanorim is Zarko. It says you have to throw it. Now, it can't mean, you say, okay, so fine, so throw it on all four sides. Can't. Why? Because we already saw earlier that the matana of the Ayla must have Yesod. You see? And there was no Yesod on all four sides. We've already spoken about it. Because the southeastern side did not have a Yesod. The drum is Mizrachi, it's without a Yesod. So it can't possibly be supported on the side without Yesod, because we learned out El Yesod Mizbach HaOlah, that everything requires Yesod that's put on the Mizbach HaOlah. So what are we supposed to do? Our Ketzad, Kimin Gamma, Shtei Matanot Shein Arba. Rabbi Yishmael Omer. Rabbi Yishmael says, well, I can't mean that. Because after all, the word saviv is used by the Korban Chatas also. Nemar kan saviv, nemar lahalan saviv. Now, just like by lahalan, meaning by the Kachataot, when it says saviv, it means saviv in the sense of pisuk. You divide between each particular act of Nesina, and it's four separate matanas. So that means that the saviv viola has got to mean the same thing. Atkan, pisuk v'abba matanas. Now you'll say, okay, so maybe that means malahal an arba matanot al arba kranot. Maybe it means put the four matanas in just like you would other chatas. The only difference being that the chatas use your finger, and over here you throw it. I mean, why would it make such a big deal? Zabkan arba matanot. I'm like, no, you can't mean that. Because I'm going to think for a minute, my friend. Ola tu na yisoda. When we just learned out that whole limud, mizbaka shel ola. So it requires yisod. The Keren Mizrachi's drum is lo hayala yisod. And there was no yisod on the Keren Mizrachi's drum. By the way, why is that? My time, huh? Amar Reb Elazar, lufi shelo hayta b'chalko shel Torah. The predator, which is the wolf, which is Binyamin, Zev Yitzras, he did not own that little piece along that edge of the eastern and southern parts of the Mizbeach, and therefore, just like it says, Baboker Yochal Ad, that was the Binyamin Zev Yitzras. The Targum over there is that in his portion will be built the Mizbeach. That's the Baboker Yochal. He will eat the dam of the Mizbeach. But he didn't know that part. Therefore, what would be the point of having Yisod for dam where there's nobody to drink it? There's no predator there. It's just like, you know, the old Judean lion. I mean, he's not a predator. You know, he sits there sort of bored and looking around waiting to pounce, but it's not the same thing as a wolf goes on the hunt. Come on. So the Amr of Shuam Bayit is Be'at Ochel B'chalko Shiyuda Amma. And what happened is that there was one Amma worth that extended into an imaginary line of the Mizbeach. It's imaginary because we ended up not building it there. But if you look at the 32 by 32 Ammas of the Mizbeach, one Amma of the 32 along the eastern section and the southern section is in the Chelek of Yehuda. And this drove Binyamin absolutely bananas. And that's what is referred to in the Pasuk. Amma Blevi Barcham Amma Kama Brevi Chanina. This was a ritzua, haitayot seik mechalkosh yudah v'nechmeset v'chalkosh ben yamin, and they never got to the bottom of this, because the boundaries of Yehuda stuck into the edge of the boundaries of Binyamin, and v'ayah Binyamin had tzadik mitzper alayah kol yom, b'chol yom l'not l'ah. Binyamin never got over this pain, because it meant that there could be no dam in that area, there'd be no way to absorb and to be mechaper in that place, because Yehuda took it. And that's why it says Chofei Falav Kol Hayom Ubein Ktei Pav Shachen. So Chofei Falav Kol Hayom, he's sitting there rubbing against it. Maybe I could sort of just grab a little bit extra there. And that's the tsar, the desire that here it's like he's rubbing his hair. What am I going to do about this? So that's because of that. L'fichach zachar binyamin ha-tzadik v'na'atok shpizichim ha-kadosh baruch hu. That explains the relationship to Ubein Ktei Pav Shachen. Because Beit Tefav Shachin is a reference to the Beit HaMikdash itself, that dwells, Shachin, so the Shechina was Beit Tefav, was between the shoulders of Binyamin. Why was he Zoch? That's why he was Zoch. It mattered so much to him. If something doesn't matter to you, why should you be Zoch to have it? And that's good for the whole bracha is a reference to this thing. So Binyamin Zev Yitrov means that he is the Tayer that can drink the dam in the Mizbeach. Baboker Yochal Ad means that he gets to actually to have the Mizbeach built in his chalet. And the fact that he was missing some of it was chayfet falav kalayom, he's mitzayer all of the time, he wants the whole area. And therefore, he's also ben tzepav shakeh. It's a beautiful period of the whole bracha to Binyamin. Okay, so because of that, there was no yisod there. So we're left, says Rabbi Shmuel, we're left with no other explanation, that's all. We can't say that it means do it like the Chatas, literally, except the Zrika, because there's no Yisod. So obviously, we're not going to do three, and then one, it's either one way or the other way. So therefore, what we're going to do is we're going to do it diagonally on the two diagonals that do have the Yisod. So those two diagonals that have a yesod, remember the yesod, even though it wasn't along the Mizrach side, it went around the edge. Take a look at your picture over here. It went right around the edge for one amma of the Mizrach. Exactly what it did for one amma of the Dorei. There, in fact, Mizbeach took up that piece of one amma. So you do it on that Mizrach Tzafon side, which has yesod, and on the Marav Dorav side, which has a yesod. And that's your only option. There's no other way to do it. Now, if you're asking me how to do it, says Rabbi Schwab, I mean, the Torah does compare it to the Kachas, but the Kachas, when it said Saviv, was done in four separate movements of your hand. So here, too, it's got to be four separate movements, one on each side. The only difference is where on the side. But it's still got to be the same way. And therefore, I disagree with the Gamma. That basically is about Machlokes Tanayim that we saw here between Rav and Shmuel. Now, wasn't that a marvelous night? That brings us to Matzei Shabbos, Bezos Hashem Yisbarach. May we be Zoka to meet together at 9:30. He wants to meet in the middle of Meir for some reason, I don't know why.
Why don't you use Gamma? Gamma looks like a Marav of a range.
What else is that? You haven't read my Hanukkah book. Yes, it does. There's a lot of fundamental issues there. But the Pashtut, a Gamma is more correct because the only similar in Ktav Ashuris, the only similar letter is a Kaf Sofit because it doesn't have an extension coming out of its edge. You see? The resh is bent. The dalet extends outwards. So therefore, the only thing that's really similar to it is the chaf sofit. And the problem with the chaf sofit is that it's longer on one end than it is on the other end. Whereas the Greek gamma is a perfect dalet squared without anything sticking out or without any rounding. And that's what you want to talk about. When you're talking about the keren, you're talking about a gamma, basically.
What is the yamin between... A little more flexible with regard to
the
ruler taking a piece, given that
it saves
his skin?
Well, maybe he saves his skin, but there's a lot of Yosef here. I mean, that's why we've got these Greek letters coming up all the time, too, remember? So, you know, it gets you right into Hanukkah, as you can see. That's why you need the Hanukkah book, you know? All right.
He kept that key.
Of course not. This was a miracle. No, I'll tell you what happened.
What's wrong with
it? No, I hid it. I hid it. Now, normally she hides everything. When she hides something and you ask her where she hid it, you're dead. Because why should she be responsible for having hid it? So then you're dead. But here, I was wondering if it was I hid it. So she had noticed it and was thinking, what's it doing there? He must have hid it. Uh-huh. Now this, of course, she knows I'm never going to remember where I hid it. So she could tell me where I hid it. That's amazing. And then so knows
and then,
you know,
and then we're embedded.
They're all very complex.
Yeah, we're embedded. And
yeah, that's wonderful. She's laughing at the mail. She loves us in the way that no matter what, it always gets down to the war between the sexes somehow.